Sleeping Arrangements by Brumeyer. Fandom, Stargate Atlantis. Relationship, Rodney McKay and John Shepherd. Rating, teen and up. Read by It Started With Alex. Cover art by Cassiope 25. John eyed the tiny room in dismay. The bed was equivalent to a double and filled most of the windowless room. The frame was a box with drawers built into it. The remaining space was occupied by a three-legged table holding a washbowl and a short bench. There wasn't enough space left over for a person to stretch out if they were so inclined. The only light came from an oil lamp hanging from a hook on the wall by the door. "Are you trying to drown me? Move!" Rodney shoved past John, shaking himself like a dog. The rain fell in a deluge outside the door, drumming noisily on the roof. The Callan had put the team up for the night, the weather making a return to the gate too dangerous due to the risks of flash flooding and mudslides. It was a risk of a different kind, sharing the overly small room with Rodney. "This is their idea of hospitality," Rodney complained. He started working himself out of his tack vest. "That bed is going to cripple me." John wondered if Taylor and Ronan were sharing a similarly sized room and how they were working out sleeping arrangements. It was possible they didn't care about sharing a bed, probably because they didn't feel about each other the way John felt about Rodney. It was going to be a long night. There was a perfunctory knock on the door, and John immediately had his hand on his P90. It was just one of the village girls. She was wearing a waterproof cloak and passed a package wrapped in waxy paper to John. "Dry clothes," she explained. "May sleep take you peaceful."
"Right, thanks. Same to you."
Rodney snatched the package out of John's hands. "Oh, good. I'm soaked to the bone. I thought we were adding rain ponchos to the off-world kits."
"Ponchos or power bars, McKay. Your choice."
"Ronan could carry more," Rodney said, voice becoming muffled as he pulled his shirt over his head. "Ponchos would be more useful than the 800 knives he hides on his person."
John turned away as soon as the pale flesh of Rodney's stomach was exposed and unclipped his own tack vest. He and Rodney had shared off-world accommodations countless times. Tents or open air with sleeping pallets, mud huts with glorified cots, luxuriously appointed rooms with all the amenities.
But they'd never had to share a bed, particularly such a small one.
There was a sound of creaking wood, and Rodney let out a sigh.
"Okay, the bed isn't too bad."
John took that as a sign it was safe to turn back around. Rodney was stretched out on the bed with his hands behind his head. The clothes the girl had dropped off weren't too dissimilar from infirmary scrubs, loose, light, and khaki-coloured. There wasn't a whole lot of bed left over for John.
"I should keep watch." Rodney rolled his eyes without lifting his head off the pillow. "Who are you expecting, Aquaman? No one's coming through this storm, Shepherd." It was annoying the way Rodney didn't seem bothered by the tiny bed. Annoying and a little disappointing. "It's been a long day. Get changed already so we can kill the lantern."
John let out a sigh, but Rodney was right. They both needed their rest after a long day of hiking out from the gate and then helping the Callan secure the village when the storm hit. Hopefully the weather would clear overnight and they could hike back to the gate in the morning. He sure as hell wasn't spending more than one night sharing that little bed. John stripped down to his underwear and changed into his own set of pyjamas. They were softer than they looked. He took his time draping his clothes from the table to help them dry, delaying the inevitable until Rodney's non-verbal complaints got too annoying to ignore. Turning the lantern off wasn't the best idea, considering they were off-world and there was no other easily accessible light source in case things went sideways, so John just turned it down to a low glow. And then it was time to get into the actual bed. Even though he tried to stay on the very edge of the mattress, there just wasn't enough room to completely avoid coming into contact with Rodney. Their legs bumped together. "Haven't you ever heard of a toenail clipper, Shepherd?" Rodney complained. "You nearly sliced through my femoral artery." John scowled and kicked back with one foot, making Rodney yelp. "Go to sleep, McKay." A soft bed, the drum of rain on the roof. Sleep should have been easily attained, but it eluded John. He was too aware of Rodney's solid presence beside him, heat pouring off him like a furnace in the dead of winter. Every twitch, every breath, John took note of them with a kind of hyper-McKay vigilance he wished he could turn off. In such close quarters, it was hard for John to think non-Rodney thoughts. He was larger than life in that tiny room, close enough to touch with the smallest shift of his body. John held himself stiffly, afraid that if he closed that infinitesimal gap between them, he wouldn't be able to make himself move again. "This reminds me of planes, trains and automobiles," Rodney said in a hushed voice. "Did you ever see it?" John never had seen that particular movie, but that didn't mean he was unaware of the reference. Everyone knew the bed-sharing scene, which had been played for laughs. "Those aren't pillows." "You worried for your virtue?" John asked, trying for a joke. Rodney shifted on his side of the bed, and his foot brushed against John's, sending a tingling sensation up the back of John's leg. "From Colonel Hands Off? Unlikely." "I thought I was the Kirk of the Pegasus Galaxy," John replied weakly. He was oddly bothered by Rodney's inconsistent perspective, that John was either out to bed every female in the galaxy or had no interest in anyone at all. Truth was, it took John a long time to form romantic feelings for someone, and he needed that connection for physical intimacy. Nancy had waited him out, but not everyone was as patient. Somewhere between sitting in the chair in Antarctica and trusting Rodney with his life and the life of everyone else on the expedition, John had developed those romantic feelings. He was aware his feelings were one-sided, and it wasn't worth sabotaging a strong friendship to try and make it something it wasn't. "Yes, well, I may have mistaken flirty charm for something else," Rodney said. "Gee, thanks." That was followed by a pause so long, John thought Rodney had fallen asleep. He tried to do the same, focusing on relaxing his limbs. He started running through the Fibonacci sequence as a way of counting sheep and distracting himself from his bed partner. Rodney proved impossible to ignore. "Don't you ever get lonely?" Rodney asked, his voice barely above a whisper. "Doesn't everyone?" "That's not an answer, Shepherd." John sighed. "We aren't teenage girls at a sleepover. There will be no heart-to-heart conversations, no truth or dare, and no braiding each other's hair." He didn't know what had gotten into Rodney, who usually knew better than to try and get John to talk about his feelings. Wasn't that a rom-com thing? Confessions while being forced to share a bed? Rodney grumbled under his breath and turned his back to John, which should have been the end of things. But now Rodney's arse was pressed against John's leg, which sent a flash of heat over John's skin. Could Rodney hear how loud his heart was beating? "Yes," John breathed, horrified to hear the word slip out of his mouth. The world seemed to come to a stop, even the rain falling more softly, as John waited to see how Rodney would respond. "Hmm," Rodney hummed, and that was all he said. But he shifted again, pressing back against John more fully and with more intent. He slowly dragged his foot alongside John's. It was possible John's feelings weren't as one-sided as he'd assumed, but he still had to make a choice. If Rodney was really extending an olive branch, did John want to reach for it, or keep things the way they were? "Don't overthink it, Colonel," Rodney said, exhaustion lacing his words. John, turning on his other side, felt akin to flipping that coin for Atlantis. His life was going to change in ways he couldn't begin to predict. It was a different kind of rush from flying, but just as breathtaking. He tentatively spooned up behind Rodney, but wasn't sure what to do with his arm. Rodney solved that problem by reaching back and grabbing hold of John's hand, pulling it against his chest. John let out a shuddering breath and was finally able to relax. Maybe he really had been overthinking things, because curling up with Rodney felt like the most natural thing in the world. It felt right. Good night, McKay. Good night, John. It was the most restful night's sleep John had had in longer than he could remember. The end. You can find this and other fics by Brumeyer on Archive of Our Own.